Hello everyone, this is Super Marcy and welcome to the Super Podcast. This is our very special 60th episode. And because it's the 60th episode, I am unfortunately joined by my co-host Kevin McAllister, the terrible Australian. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Marcy. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I had to give you some bizarre kind of introduction.
Of course.
But no, your real name is Bede and you're the terrible Australian.
I thought my real name was Morgan Freeman.
It is. So Bede, or Kevin, or Morgan, why are you a terrible Australian for our 60th episode?
Alrighty, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties.
Now, was this the actual movie or was that like the porno parody version?
Nah, this is a real movie.
Okay, because I could have forgiven you for watching a porno being called, you know, A Tale of Two Kitties. But seeing as you actually went and watched a Garfield movie, yeah, there's something wrong with you, buddy.
Yes, Ed willingly as well.
Yeah, that's even worse. Like, I could maybe understand if you were, like, tied down and forced to watch it Clockwork Orange style, but no, not willingly. It does not work. I think there's something, like, you really, after 60 episodes of the show, I don't think there has been anything as terrible as you.
Well, isn't that, well, it's not that surprising, though.
No.
I think after Hannah Montana, the movie, I think, you know, it can't get any worse than that.
Yeah, it did when you admitted you watched the last song.
That's very true.
And a movie with the subtitle of A Tale of Two Kitties. I'm rolling my eyes right now. Anyway, this will segue in no possible way to introduce our guest, who is a returning guest, and please welcome Matches Malone.
I was about to say, if you're linking me in any way to Garfield, no.
My segue was kitties.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Okay.
Yeah, somehow that works, all right? Yeah, cool. So,
well,
welcome.
We'll go with that one, sure.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I'm glad to be back with my favorite Australians.
Yeah, but really, I'm your favorite.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Your second
you
favorite.
You throw some boobs, Bede, you might rank up there.
Okay, well, that's true.
Yeah, see, boobs play, like, a really intricate part of this whole hugging business.
Yeah. See, that's how everybody, like, always sides with you, Marcy, because of your boobs.
Yeah, I know. It's just the way it is, I'm afraid. And that is going to in no way segue us to our topic, which is the comic book films of the 90s. Hooray!
Woohoo!
Bede, do you want to start us off with the first few movies on the list?
Of course. Okay, I think the first two, like, I should say the first two movies, because this happens to be the first and second of a series of movies. And the first, of course, is The Addams Family, and its sequel, The Addams Family Values.
Indeed. And what year was the original Addams Family, 1990, 1991?
The first one came out in 91, and the sequel came out in 93.
Okay. Were you a fan of the Addams Family movies?
I like the first one. Like, it's definitely a very black comedic film. Like, when I rewatched it, like, a few... darkly comedic film. But if you, like, and very macabre as well. Like, when I rewatched it a few years ago, I was so, like, really surprised on how darkly humorous it was. Like, but, you know, you expect that. I mean, It's the Addams Family, and they're kooky, and they're
creepy, and
mysterious, and spooky, and all the together kooky, the Addams Family. But, yeah, and it's a really good movie. I liked it, but I have to admit, I actually love the sequel much more, because that one was just absolutely hilarious on so many levels.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I do tend to go with the second one. I don't know what it is. I just always preferred that one. And yeah, I loved both of the movies. And the only Addams Family that I'd seen previously, I think, to this was, like, the TV series, the old TV series. And then I think after that, there was a cartoon series or something that I'd seen. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never read, like, a comic of an Addams Family.
Yeah.
So source material doesn't apply to me. And I don't know if that, like, helps with my love for these two movies. But they're a lot of fun.
I agree. Especially the second one, because to me that was, like, it was so much fun and just, like, pretty, there's not, like, there's very little plot, but at the same time, like, it's just hilarious. There's so many great gags and great lines, and just everything about that movie is hilarious.
It's all Joan Cusack. Joan Cusack really makes that second one.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
She's really just
phenomenal. I mean, even, like, her reasoning behind it. But no, I wanted Malibu Barbie. Like, just, there were certain things. She was just really, really twisted. It was nice.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was younger, like, when these came out, it did not occur to me that Uncle Fester was Doc Brown until a little bit later on, and then I realized it was Christopher Lloyd played both.
Oh, no, he's very unrecognizable in both films.
Yeah, and that didn't occur to me, but you know what I did notice? I did notice that the dad was also M. Bison.
Of course!
And I don't have "of course" ready, so I'm going to have to go find "of course" and play it just specifically for what I said, and I'm really stupid for not having it lined up. Because
Raul Julia was amazing as Gomez Adams.
Here we go.
Of course!
There we go. Delayed joke.
Even he agrees.
Indeed. He was such a great actor, and he was so good in this movie. He really, I mean...
Yeah, I'm actually a huge fan of him, and I thought he played it so, so well. And it's funny, because they ended up making, and I want to say that probably came out in the late 90s, the third Addams Family movie with Tim Curry taking over the role.
Didn't see it.
Which relates straight to DVD ones.
Mm.
Yeah.
Never
saw that one.
Yeah, and the thing is, Tim Curry playing that role seems to make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. He seems like he would have the right demeanor and everything for it, but Raul Julia just killed it, and there was no taking over after him.
Mm. Yeah. True. I mean, I haven't seen, like, the shitty sequels. I'm assuming they're shitty, but...
Oh, they're shitty. Yeah.
Where my love lies is with those two movies, so I don't see any reason to actually go and see anything else.
Yeah, it would have been in 1998, and it was called Addams Family Reunion. And everybody changed. Daryl Hannah played Morticia.
No.
Yeah, there was a Grandpa and Grandma Addams in it. The whole cast was completely different.
Yeah, I think what worked so well was, like, the cast as well, because they were perfect for their roles, like, you know, with Morticia and Wednesday and Pugsley and everybody, and Uncle Fester, the butler guy, of
course.
Lurch. Yeah, that guy was creepy. And Thing, I mean, whoever played the hand, such a good hand.
Greatest hand actor of all time.
Yes.
Okay, and here's a slight tangent question for you guys, but it is based off this. There's a reasoning. Now, do you lean more towards Addams Family TV show or the Munsters?
Addams Family, because I watched that more, but I liked both.
Me too. But I haven't seen both shows in such a long time, but I do remember watching them both. I think... I have to go with the Addams Family because that was the one I saw more of than the Munsters.
Mm.
I own both full series on DVD because I'm a nerd. And it's weird. It's a tough question. There definitely are the loyalists that seem to go one way or another. Like, I know Munsters fanatics. And, it's just me being curious. I personally lean towards the Addams Family as well. But I know, like, my wife and her best friend are all hardcore Munsters. Like, Munsters is the top of the cake. Like, it's just perfect. Yeah.
I mean, they're both great shows. I probably saw the Addams Family a bit more. But I don't know, do the monsters make sense? Because they're all, like, different creatures.
And yeah, because he's a Frankenstein, she's a vampire, and their son's a werewolf. I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe the mixture just made a werewolf. I don't know.
Vampire and Frankenstein DNA mixed into werewolf or something.
Yeah.
But, and you know what? It's awesome. Don't question.
I know. It's just don't very strange.
Don't figure this shit out.
Yeah. So I'm guessing Adam's Family, Adam's Family 2 get the thumbs up from all three of us?
Yep.
Yeah,
and definitely. I have to give a shout out to one actor in particular in both movies, Christina Ricci, who played Wednesday Adams.
Yeah.
She was amazing in both movies, especially the second one, because she had like some of the best lines in the entire movie.
She was very morbid.
Oh, yeah. And there's one line in particular that cracks me up. It's like at the very beginning of the movie, like Pugsy and Wednesday are in the hospital waiting room with, and some young girl is talking to them about where babies come from. And I got the line up here now. It says, and then Mommy kissed Daddy and the angel told the stork and the stork flew down from heaven and left the diamond under the leaf in the cabbage patch and the diamond turned into a baby. And they go, our parents are having a baby too. They had sex.
As long as you're giving a shout out, I'm going to give a shout out to one of my favorite characters too, who would be Hubert Adams from Values, because it was a baby with a fucking mustache.
Yeah. I completely forgot about the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love the mustache.
Oh, look, honey, he's got your father's eyes. Take them out of his mouth. I love that movie.
I think onto something a little bit different, because we're reading these out in alphabetical order. Bede has put down on this list Barbed Wire, starring Pamela Anderson. I don't like this movie.
No.
I didn't like it either. It was supposed to be basically like Pamela Anderson was playing like a stripper with a heart of gold who was like an action heroine or something like that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she didn't really show much of the goods of that movie, unfortunately.
No. Which is stupid. The only reason anybody wanted to see it was to see her goods, and then, yeah.
They advertised a lot that her goods were going to be shown in this movie. Yeah. We see him for, like, a second.
And what's funny is she resurrected a character almost exactly like this with comic book ties years later, at least a decade later, as a cartoon called Stripperella
that Stan
Lee wrote. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, she just played those same roles. And I'm sorry, Pamela Anderson kind of sucks.
Yeah, the only thing I think she could remotely do was, you know, being in Baywatch and making a sex tape.
Yep.
Basically, that's it.
And also, the movie is basically, if you look at the plot, it's a complete ripoff of Casablanca. It is. Like, it is a well-known fact that this movie is a ripoff of Casablanca.
Yeah, I know. The way you say it, though.
I just refuse to put those two movies anywhere near each other.
Yeah. Although this movie has one thing going for it, and that is the always awesome Temuera Morrison, who's always awesome.
Well, he is New Zealander, a Kiwi, right?
Yeah. Well, he's a Kiwi, but, you know, he's a good actor, too.
Yeah, he is.
He's, like, the only decent thing in this movie.
Mm.
Kiwis are Australians, right?
They're New Zealanders. Damn it. Anyway.
I'm telling New Zealander that.
They are from their own country. It's like we're from our own country.
Exactly.
And we love them very much.
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys call the Tasmanians?
We just call them those strange people over there.
Oh, are they strange?
Yeah, they're like hillbilly.
We call them inbreds.
Yes.
So it's like a whole country of inbreds.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And not cannabis. Like, you know, I want to go and visit awesome, but just like, that's awesome that like you guys just send your inbreds to Tasmania.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's cannibals there too.
There's cannibals.
Yeah, because there's a famous cannibal that lived in Tasmania.
Oh, God. Anyway.
The things I learned.
Oh. Anyway, that was barbed wire. The
movie
definitely
not
is terrible.
Checking out.
Yeah, the movie's bad. It's not even really so bad it's good. Because it kind of just really sucks. So, thumbs down from Marcy.
And me.
And me.
Cool.
It probably would have got like a halfway thumbs up if like Pam showed her boobs.
If she showed her boobs for like 10 minutes or something.
Yes, exactly.
moving on. Stop saying slap my face. The next movie we have, or the next few movies, they are Batman-related movies, and the first one is Batman Returns.
Woohoo!
Which was the sequel to the original Batman, which is not on the list because it's from 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman Returns had Batman, Penguin, and Catwoman, and it was, I think it was a much darker movie, and it concentrated a lot more on the villains. Rather than
the
Batman,
first one concentrated a shitload on the villain too.
Yeah, it did, but this one like had more villains and But I loved
it started
this movie.
That whole like introduce the sequel and put in keep adding in more and more villains type thing.
Yeah,
it really kicked that idea off.
Yeah, as a kid, I absolutely loved this movie, and I still really really love this movie, and I do have it on Blu-ray, and I'm. Actually, you know, should have watched it already on Blu-ray. So I'm looking forward to seeing it on Blu-ray because I think it's just going to be a whole new experience in HD.
Mm. It actually looks really great on Blu-ray.
I have a weird love-hate relationship with the Tim Burton Batman movies. I definitely think Batman Returns is better than Batman. I love his look for Gotham. I loved the villains in Batman Returns. I thought the casting was awesome. I thought the characterizations were just really cool. The costume design, the look, everything was really neat. I never liked Michael Keaton as Batman. And because of that, I always had a very hard time with his version of the character. I also thought that he jizzed way too much over the villains and did very little to help Batman as a character. And I know I get a lot of hate for that and people disagree with me, but it just, to me, Batman seemed very weak in his movies, and it was him just loving the villains and being able to make a very gothic looking city. The cars were cool, everything else. I don't like his portrayal of Batman.
Fair enough. You're always entitled to your own opinion.
Even if you are wrong.
Well, nobody's ever really wrong. I mean, it's your opinion, and you can discuss your own points of view.
What about Arvin White?
Michael Keaton. I thought Michael Keaton, and I mean, when the first one came out, I was 10 years old. At 10 years old, I knew Michael Keaton as Mr. Mom. When I heard Mr. Mom was fucking playing Batman, I was pissed. I was 10 years old, and I was pissed off. Because I knew then that it was bad casting. And I hear very often, oh, but it was all in his eyes. Fuck you in the eyes. The dude's a puny little fuck that I could have beat up at 10 years old. There's no way he's playing Batman. Also, if you look at Batman's fighting style, very weak. And that's what I was just saying.
You made me laugh.
I care about my comic book character.
Yes. I never really noticed that before.
When we go on to one of these movies, I'm probably going to upset people, so it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I liked it. I never really minded him as Batman. When I was younger, I was obsessed with Catwoman, and I wanted to be Catwoman, and I used to have like a Catwoman mask that I used to wear when I was little. So I was kind of obsessed with this movie. I used to have like all the merchandise that they brought out. I used to have, like, these pen holders that went around your neck, and you'd put the pen into the holder, and they'd be of, like, the Batmobile or Catwoman.
Catman?
Batman and Penguin.
Catman's a completely different character, sweetheart.
Yes, I meant Catwoman. I'm just, like, I was thinking of Batman and Catwoman at the same time. So yeah, I was really obsessed, and then I went for a while without watching it, but then when I rewatched it, I mean, you could really feel like instead of going for something more serious, he was going for something that wanted to feel like a comic book movie.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, it definitely gets a thumbs up from me.
Me too.
It definitely gets a thumbs up. I do have one other gripe with the movie. I forgot about this too.
Please tell us.
Catwoman gets brought back to life by getting licked by cats. I get licked by cats. I get fucking hives. This is really fucking unfair.
I guess it's just trying to say.
Yeah, but you went on the verge of death. Like,
she was no, I apparently was. No, no, I hate the origin of Catwoman, and I think that's weak. But the Catwoman design and outfit is fucking epic. It's beautiful.
I agree. But, I had Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh my god! Really.
But, amazing. So no, I definitely give it a thumbs up as well.
And we also forgot, Danny DeVito.
Oh yeah, he's awesome. I love him in this movie.
Fucking Pee Wee Herman played his dad in the movie. That was Paul Rubens who played his dad.
Yeah, true. I really liked the whole penguin thing, the way they did it in the movie.
I thought it was cool. Awesome. To me, that was by far somebody growing up with the Batman TV show as a kid, too. That was such a decisive, just awesome take on Penguin. Like, him eating the fish. I'll always remember him biting into the fish. Just very, very cool.
Yeah, and I was trying to say when you guys kept talking, the symbolism of the Catwoman origin is to show you the power of the pussy.
Sadly, yes. Yeah.
There you go. Sorry.
And apparently pussy just gives me hives, which sucks.
Gee, you must have a really bad sex life.
I'm married, sweetheart. Yes, I do.
I have to admit, Batman.
I can't stop laughing. You had to go there, didn't you?
Of course.
Of course. Oh, damn it, I didn't have of course. Let me do a
course. I have to admit, Batman Returns actually used to freak me out as a kid, especially like the scene where the penguin bites that guy's nose.
Yeah, that was really awesome. Gross, eh?
Yeah, it was gross, and, like, I have to laugh. When I rewatched it again, like, when I bought it out on Blu-ray and rewatched it again, I had to laugh because Andrew Buranowski's in the movie. And, of course, he played Zangief in Street Fighter, and,
oh, my God, everything comes back to Street Fighter with you.
And he also was in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake because he played Leatherface. And he plays Christopher Walken's son in the movie, and he does, like, the most hysterically bad Christopher Walken.
Oh, my God, yes, impression. That's right.
He's like, Father, what are you doing? We got to go now.
Dude, I remember.
And that's another reason why this movie rules. Christopher Walken's in it.
He looks awesome in it as well.
And I have to also admit that even though I kind of still like Batman a bit more, but I have to admit that Batman Returns actually holds up a lot more than Batman. Batman movie, because even though I do still like Batman, but when I watched it on Blu-ray, it just made me realize on how dated the movie was.
Yeah,
I just was taken aback by that. You know, by the production design. I know the budget was back then. I'm not sure what it was at the time. Was much lower than say, you know, $150 million. It was probably around the $50 million mark, but still, it just looked very off-putting.
Yeah, do you know what's funny? Like, rewatching Batman just regularly on, like, DVD, and I didn't really like it as much as I used to. I still enjoyed it and stuff, but something just didn't seem right. But then I saw it on Blu-ray, and my opinion changed completely.
Holy shit, budget was $35 million. That's it.
Yeah. Jeez. But then on Blu-ray, they just made it seem new again. It was amazing. Like, such a great experience to watch it on Blu-ray.
I suppose, because I hadn't seen the movie for a while, that's probably why I was just taken aback by it.
Yeah, because after, like, seeing, say, The Dark Knight, it just seemed really different. But you got to understand, they're very different movies. They're set in different, you know,
time
universes, periods, blah, 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 blah. But from one Batman to another, Batman...
Party Bear! Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if these are meant to be in any kind of order, but the next one you've got on the list is Mark of the Phantasm.
Yes. Yeah, that came out before Batman Forever, so...
Mm-hmm. I kind of remember this, but it's been a long time since I've seen it, so I don't really think I can put much input into discussing it, but I will say that at the time when I did see it, it got a thumbs up, so I'm just going to give it a thumbs up anyway.
Me too. I gave it a thumbs up as well, even though it's been a long time since I've seen it.
I'm assuming matches.
I own it on DVD, as well as technically Batman Sub-Zero could be on this list as well, which was another animated movie that they put out there, both being based off Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah, but this one was the only, I think, the only one that got released a theatrical in cinemas, release.
Yeah.
No, well, Sub-Zero did here.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I will have to say, not only does it get a thumbs up to me, Batman Mask of the Phantasm, even better than the new Batman movies. Batman the Animated Series is the epitome of Batman to me, and Batman Mask of the Phantasm is just a great, great story. It's everything Batman should be, and I love the new Batman movies, but Batman Mask of the Phantasm is just, it's the perfect Batman movie.
Now you're making me want to watch it again, bitch.
No, definitely watch it. The cartoons as well. I own the full series of the Batman animated series cartoons on DVD as well. They hold up so well, and the storytelling is so smart. And the fact that it was still being marketed to kids, but you watch it. It's very film noir. It's got this whole cool like Art Deco 1950s thing going on, though still with modern technology going through it. Just an awesome feel. Bruce Timm did an amazing job. Paul Dini was coming up with just ridiculous characters on those things. If people haven't seen it, and you guys might have some young listeners to your podcast, if they haven't seen these old Batman things, they don't know what they're missing. It's just phenomenal.
So I'm guessing you would give it a thumbs up then.
Oh, a big thumbs up.
Two thumbs up even. To something that's probably not going to get a thumbs up, Batman Forever.
I kind of got mixed feelings on this one.
Yeah, I've seen it recently. And as a kid, like, how old was I when this came out? I was like 95. So I was 11. Is that right? 95? Yeah. So I was like 11, whatever.
I don't know how old you were.
Hey? Yeah, whatever. I can hear my niece screaming in the background. She even likes the movie. She saw it recently, actually, with me, because it was on at her house on Foxtel, which is cable, and it's not good. And I remember as a kid, as I was saying, I used to love it as a kid. I don't know what it was. It was just aimed at that age group that I was when it came out. And I had like all the merchandise. I was obsessed. I had all these posters on my wall for it, and it was so cool. But then you watch it again, it's like, no, this is so bad. The acting is bad. Oh, I mean, it's kind of like so bad it's good in a way, but it's really not a good movie. It's really not.
I still think it's still watchable. Like, I can sit there, like, if it's on TV, I can sit there and watch it, but it seems like a meshing of two different ideas, because Tim Burton, after Batman Returns, when that came out, he got a lot of flack from a lot of people say, oh, it was too dark and too grown up and stuff like that. And it seemed like when they were making another Batman movie, Tim Burton couldn't do it, but he'd stayed on as a producer. But I think they wanted to make it much more, I guess, family friendly and all that.
Yeah, they were aimed at kids.
Yeah, but it still had the meshing of two. Like, you had like some of the stuff that could have easily have been in, you know, you can definitely see some of Tim Burton's touch still in there in a lot of scenes and the style and all that. And also, you know, Joel Schumacher coming in and, you know, bringing his thing. But you can definitely see the hints of, like, that really campy feel that would be blown out of proportion in the next film that we'll talk about in a sec. But, like, I still think it's watchable. I think Val Kilmer was fine as Batman, because at least in this one, compared to the first two, at least Schumacher was trying to make it about Batman as well.
Yeah.
And apparently his original 2.5-hour director's cut, like, I haven't seen it, but they say that it's very, very Bruce Wayne-oriented in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, you've got cool villains like, you know, Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey just hamming it up awesomely all over the places. Two-Face and the Riddler, but at the same time, like, as much there are some cool stuff in it, it's some of that camp just kind of ruins it a little bit. Like, I actually remembered at the time when I first saw the movie, I actually did not like it the first time I watched it, because I remember seeing, like, the McDonald's ad for it, and there was, like, you know, like you see Batman next to the Batmobile and he's ready to go, and then Alfred says, do you want me to, what was it, like,
call, oh my gosh, yeah,
pick the foyer, sir, and Batman goes, I'll get drive-through. And I thought that was just done for the ad, and then I watched the movie and it was actually in the fucking movie. And I'm like, no!
You're like, why, Lisa, why?
And there's other things like it. What is it that makes, like, something, I can't remember the exact line, it's like, what is it that makes, you know, women so attractive? And it's the car, right? Chicks dig the car.
Chicks dig the car. I remember, because, do you remember the video clips to the songs that came out, like U2 and Seal? Like,
the soundtrack was pretty awesome.
The soundtrack was wicked. The soundtrack was
fucking epic.
But they had those sound bites in those video clips, and back in the day, we used to record the TV for the songs, like on the cassette recorder. And I remember listening back to the songs and you'd hear the quotes because they were in the video clip and you could hear chicks love the car, chicks dig the car in there and stuff. So bad. Wasn't this one had Nicole Kidman, right?
Yeah, it had Nicole Kidman.
As Chase Meridian.
It had an Aussie in there for you guys.
Yeah, oh, truly.
And then Chris O'Donnell.
Oh my god.
Well, he's a fucking douchebag.
He is so bad in this movie, and the costume is terrible. Like, the original Robin costume just looks so just dumb in this movie. And when I was younger, because I was, you know, 11 years old, I used to think he was hot, and I used to think Val Kilmer was hot. Too. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And it's just like, no. What was I thinking?
Yeah, it's
you like, know what I mean?
I know what you mean. It's definitely like, especially after Tim Burton's sort of darker Batman movies, just to go straight into something a bit more lighter and in some little ways more resentment of the actual TV. Well, not 100%, but little touches from the actual campy TV show, it's kind of off-putting.
It felt very campy and very cheesy.
Yeah.
But, probably a little too much.
I still watch the bit. Like, if I had the rating, I'd give it, like, a solid 3, and that's the rating. Like, there are elements about it I do like, and there are elements about it I didn't like, but I like I said, if it's on TV, I'd still definitely watch it. And
yeah, you can just watch it on TV sort of thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's, like, I don't want to say it's a bad movie or a good movie. It's not a quality movie, I should say.
So you're giving it, like, a slight thumbs up.
I give it sort of like, not a thumbs up, not a thumbs down, sort of like a halfway point.
Yeah, mine would be sitting just like halfway.
Yeah.
And matches.
I give it a thumbs up.
Tell
us why.
And
this is where I know I'll get some slack, or get some hate. Up until Christian Bale, Val Kilmer, I think, was the closest to nailing both Batman and Bruce Wayne. He might not have had the dark hair that Bruce Wayne's supposed to have, but in terms of his presence, his attitude, everything, I thought he nailed Batman and Bruce Wayne far better than any of the other people, including the actor who would come after, not including Batman animated series stuff. I loved him in it. I remember going to see this in the theater. I was on a date because, of course, you know, a nerd like me would bring a date to go see Batman Forever. But yeah, I remember being there at the theater seeing this. I remember when we're waiting, the film actually broke the first time we watched it and they had to go get film from another theater and bring it over. I really enjoyed it. Does it hold up completely? No. I blame a lot of that on the fucking neon 90s colors that were going on. And it was very heavily just 90s inundated with the neons and ickiness. But the soundtrack was awesome. I love Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. I did realize, though, that all of a sudden between the original Tim Burton Batman and this one, he went from black to white.
Yes. It wasn't
Dusty Williams to Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, but he went from Lando Calrissian to Tommy Lee Jones.
But somehow they changed it that it wasn't the Joker that killed Batman's parents. It was Two-Face.
True.
For some strange reason.
Well, everybody but then you also had, you know, at least you stuck to a three named person. You went Billy Dee Williams, Tommy Lee Jones. At least you had that going on.
Yeah, true.
Jim Carrey was over the top as Riddler. And do you guys remember? You would have been younger than But there was original casting that was going on for this movie when it was talked about being made, and the original Riddler that they had talked about was Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And the original Robin was actually Fred Savage.
I've heard a
yeah. I just think Fred Savage from the Wonder Years with the voiceover.
Well, yeah, sorry. He was a little kid, yeah, from Wonder Years, and it's funny, you know, we laugh about him now. He's actually got a pretty good career as a TV producer and stuff now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, and also he's the director of an amazing movie like Daddy Get Day Camp.
Is he the director of that?
Yeah, he directed that.
Jesus. Wasn't his name Kevin in the Wonder Years as well? Kevin Arnold.
I love that he does It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is one of my favorite shows. And he's heavily affiliated with that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's awesome. I really like the movie. I mean, it hadn't completely jumped the shark like it would for the next movie. But there were some things I liked it. And I really... Val Kilmer's role is what really made me enjoy that. So I definitely give it a thumbs up, and I'm the weird one.
Yeah, you are weird.
Also, speaking of trivia, I also read another actor who, like three other actors who were at one time in talks to play Robin. The first was Marlon Wayans.
Yes, I remember
that. Yeah, because he was in the documentary, because like all the, you know, when the movies came out, like on DVD and Blu-ray a few years ago, they had an awesome documentary called Shadow of the Bat,
mm-hmm.
which was like an epic documentary that spread across all the movies. Mm-hmm. And it was like Robin was supposed to be in Batman Returns, and Marlon Wayans was cast, but they wrote his character out, and they thought, okay, that's all right. When we make the next one, we'll bring you back in. And then... when they were doing that one, they decided not to bring Marlon Wayans back for that role. But he still got paid for both movies, even though he never ended up big in either of them.
Well, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah. And also, Leonardo DiCaprio was in talks to be Robin at one point. And also, and also our current Batman, Christian Bale, was at one time for Robin as well. But he didn't get the part. Apparently, he was very close to getting it until Chris O'Donnell got it.
Yeah, because he's such a better actor. What the hell?
Because he was, like, in the Three Musketeers, man.
Yeah, but he was really good in that movie. I am a fan of the Disney Three Musketeers. Shut up.
And also, Scent of a Woman and School Ties.
Yeah, but those movies were awesome. And he was awesome in them. Shut up. Don't rag Chris O'Donnell.
I don't care if they go into crazy swing dancing. That's a fucking great movie. And also, one other quick comment with this. Sugar and Spice, the henchmen of Two-Face, who are played by Drew Barrymore and Debbie Mazar, fucking hot as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Enough.
Yeah, definitely. No argument there. So from something that was hot as hell to something that's frozen...
Well played.
Yes, Batman and Robin. This gets like the biggest thumb down of all time. As my famous quote from a previous podcast goes, Batman and Robin is an insult to nipples.
You're not sending me to the cooler.
Gosh. This movie,
like Arnold Schwarzenegger's like terrible like lines in that movie were like kind of what made that movie for me. Even though I haven't seen it for a while, but I have to admit, even though it is a bad movie, I can kind of watch it just because of that, because of how terrible it is. I don't say it's a so bad it's a good movie, but you can just watch it and thinking, what the fuck went wrong?
Yeah, I mean, when I saw this, and I saw this for free, so I didn't pay for it at theaters. When I was, I think I was 13 when this came out, and I hated it then. I thought it was crap then. I was thinking, what have I seen? And I was so excited to see another Batman movie because I loved Batman. And I even, like, pre-bought the soundtracks. Like, the year before, I had gotten a CD player, and the soundtrack is amazing. Like, it is truly a fantastic soundtrack. But I'm sitting there going, what is wrong? This is so bad. And they introduce, like, Batgirl, and they've got Bat credit cards and Bat ass and Bat nipples.
Oh. I forgot about the Bat credit card when I watched the Nostalgia Critic episode. Yeah. He just like flipped his lid at the
Bat
credit card.
It is really, really bad.
I'm afraid my condition is to be called to your pleas of mercy.
Everything is so wrong. Seriously, the casting, George Clooney does not work as Batman. No. Alicia Silverstone does not work as Batgirl. Chris O'Donnell didn't work before. Arnold does not work. Uma Thurman looks like a drag queen.
But I think she could have worked. She's the only one I think that could have worked. But yeah. The horrible outfit design and stuff is really what
Exactly. Because, you know, if it was the right material, I don't think she would have been bad. But everything just looks bad. They made her look like a drag queen.
Yeah. And then Jeep Swenson, the guy who played Bane, like, died not long after that either. He fucking big, huge roid head.
Yeah. And
he wrestled in WCW as the Ultimate Final Solution.
Yeah, right. Like,
really, that's your fucking name, douchebag? Like,
yeah.
No wonder why you didn't work.
Ice to seal.
Ice to seal. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. My voice went all funny then.
Keep cool, bird boy.
Although we need to address that our beloved Alfred in these movies did pass away recently.
Yeah.
So he was always actually really good in all the movies.
Yeah, he was. He was, even like, as much as I really didn't like, you know, had mixed feelings on Batman Forever and, of course, didn't like Batman and Robin, he was, like, still the best thing about both those movies.
He was always really, really good. He was a great Alfred.
Going back to Goofy Jeep, he was over 400 pounds when he died, and he died of a massive myocardial infarction while in the hospital, and the doctors admitted that they could not do anything to him until he at least lost 100 pounds, and he died just days later.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, what did you die of? Heart attack? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So thumbs down from everyone?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Unless you have anything else you want to add?
No.
See you in hell! I mean, sorry.
When hell freezes over.
I meant to say free... Well. Oh wait, it's meant to be freeze in hell, Batman.
Yeah, I mean,
I really messed that line up.
Yeah, the movie feels like you know, the old series, but just done really, really badly. And that's Batman and Robin.
It was like the old series, but given a budget
and shittier.
And if this movie, I actually admit, if they had shark repellent in this movie, like the Bat shark repellent, I probably would have given this like an extra star.
Yeah, seriously.
Like the ice sharks or something. I don't know.
Next movie on the list, and we're still on the bees here, so let's try and work through these. Blade.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome. I've never read Blade or anything with a comic book. I just saw the movie.
The comic books have actually never really done well. It works far better as a movie than it ever did as a comic book. Like, for some reason, they've just never been able to nail the character in comics. But I think the biggest thing for Blade is it kind of spawned Marvel getting into movies more. Mm-hmm. They'd had a few, but Blade was the first success. Nobody was expecting it to do well. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it definitely sparked the whole more modern age of comic book movies that got us out of the Batman and Robins and stuff like that and brought us to, you know, it kind of entered us into the new decade, the new millennium with stuff. It was phenomenal. Everybody was solid in it. It was cool. Wesley Snipes, you know, it was post, you know, hitting Halle Berry, but pre-tax evasion Wesley Snipes, so...
Yeah, he was good in the movie, and Stephen Dorff was really good. And what's he really done since? No idea.
Well, not much, but
not too much. And he was his character was cool. He was hot.
There's still rumors that they're gonna try and do a spin-off movie of his character from that movie.
Yeah, and he's still
that was just come up recently.
Yeah, he hasn't aged that much, so I think he could kind of pull it off.
I just don't think it'd be a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
and what I love. Sorry.
Sorry, I was giving it a thumbs up, bitch.
Okay. I was going to say what I loved about Blade is that, unlike most of the comic book movies that came out during the 90s, this is one that actually took itself actually serious and not campy or anything like that. And I think that and like Matt just said, we would see that like a couple years later when X-Men came out, and then after that, you know, the boom of comic book movies that we have today, where they took it serious and not, you know, not for kids or for camp or anything like that.
Yeah, this is an actual like adult related horror movie comic book adaptation. So the beginning is what sold this movie to me when I saw it, because it starts off, we're in a club, you know, and then all of a sudden the blood rains down.
And then, like, Wesley Snipes, like, gets his sword out and he just hacks vampires from left and right.
Yeah, it's wicked. And Blade's a cool character.
And Wesley Snipes played him to perfection.
Yeah, that's one of the best things he's done, aside from, you know, Demolition Man, which is a classic of the 90s.
Of course.
Demolition Man rules.
Indeed. that's Blade.
I have to say one thing. Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
I still want to know what the fucking three shells are for, damn it.
You do a dump in one shell. You close it with the other, and then you wipe your butt with the remaining shell. Wow. That's the only way I can think of it as working.
That's not cool.
I don't know.
I'm just happy that wasn't in Blade.
Yeah, I know, right?
Agree. Desolation Jones. Wait, wasn't no? What was he? Not Desolation Jones. What was he in that movie? Something like that.
Something.
Anyway, Bede, do you want to introduce the next movie for us?
Of course.
We're all giving Blade a thumbs up, I'm assuming.
Of course. The next movie, no, this isn't coming out early, even though it's coming out in a few months. This is actually, it was made before, and that, of course, is the original 1990 version of Captain America.
Fuck yeah!
And I've actually seen this movie. I used to watch it as a kid.
Yeah, because you wanted to be Captain America.
Of course, I even made a movie on it.
Yeah, and you made a costume with garbage can and everything. Garbage can lid.
I have to admit, Marcy, I don't know if this actually did happen. It never did, but I don't know, I have some strange feeling that for the mask of Captain America, I use blue underwear.
Oh, that explains so much.
Mind you, they weren't used.
I bet they were.
But I'm not sure. Like, I don't know why I keep thinking that. That's the fear I'm having. It's like, I watch it and I'm, like, wearing undies on my head. But I'll have to find out because my auntie is on the hunt for Captain America as we speak. And hopefully I will, once it's found, I will put it up online so everyone can watch. Unless I have underwear on my face, then it can just fade into obscurity.
No, we need to see it.
Yes. Anyways, Captain America. I watched this movie all the time when I was a kid. I kind of loved it. Loved it so much that I wanted to make my own Captain America movie. And then, of course, I watched it like over 10 years later, like probably, I don't know, probably like maybe 10 or 8 years ago or something. I rewatched it and I realized that it was boring. That's the only way I can describe it, is that it was boring.
Yeah, I was going to rewatch it again in preparation to discuss it. I couldn't be bothered and didn't really have time. But this movie is just, it's hilarious. It's not good. And, you know, it's so silly. And it's like, no wonder they're doing another one.
Yeah. And I actually realized on how kind of hilariously bad it was after watching the Nostalgia Critic episode, especially when Captain America like gets out of a car and he like with somebody and he like gets back in the car and drives off without the other person in that, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, or my favorite part was the Hail Hitler.
Bang. Yeah, that was funny.
It's hilarious. It's like, Hail Hitler, bang. Like, what the fuck?
But I was kind of pissed that Red Skull wasn't Red Skull for most of the movie. He was only Red Skull for like one scene, and then like when Captain America is reawoken again in the present, Red Skull was just like back to his normal self, just with a bit of scar.
Red Skull looks terrible. So bad. So bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Matches, what are your thoughts on Captain America, the original movie? Well, is it really the original movie? Because they did, like, these two TV movies back in the 70s, and they were really, really awful, and they didn't look anything like Captain America, but whatever.
There was also a TV thing back in 1944, a shorts.
Mm.
Actually, that might have been before movies, like, you know, airing before the movies. It might not have even been TV. But, no, it was bad. That's all I have to say. Big thumbs down. It sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. And interesting enough, I was reading the other day that the movie is coming out on DVD Blu-ray in a few months, and it's going to be a director's cut.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 30 minutes longer.
Like, it needs to be longer.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe this might be, like, you know, the kingdom of heaven of, like, comic book movies. Where it's like a not so good movie that's made even better by a director's cut.
I don't see that happening.
Oh, you're probably right.
We have this local thing called Spenguli. He's kind of like our like Chicago's Elvira or anything like that. He's our horror host for horror movies, but sometimes he'll also just do flat out bad movies too. And he had done Captain America, and it was bad. And you know, if you get on that show, you're pretty fucking bad. It's bad. Don't know. I have nothing to say. I'm embarrassed by it, and it's,
Yeah. I think my Captain America movie will be even better than this one, which I can guarantee.
I'm sure, because especially if you've got the under on your head.
and the shield for a garbage can for a shield.
Yeah. The next movie on the list, I kind of want to skip because I don't really particularly want to talk about it, and that's Casper, because I didn't even know it was related to a comic book. All I'd ever seen was the cartoon, which would have been a comic anyway, but it's just it's a silly movie. I don't really like it, and it just doesn't. The only thing I liked in that movie was one scene where he goes, "Can I keep you?" because it's cute, and that's about it.
I like the movie. Sorry.
As I'm older, I just don't really like the movie that much. It kind of gets a slightly thumbs up from me, but yeah, that's about it.
I actually got my nickname from this movie. My nickname for many years, and Top Gun knows me by it and calls me it, is Casper. And it's actually from this because I don't know if she was a girlfriend or a friend at the time, but her and her mom went to go see this movie, and her mom is like, "Oh my God, that's Matches." Except she said my real name.
It is Matches. That's your real name.
Oh my God, that's him. And because I had that kind of haircut as Devon Sawa had.
Oh my God, do you have pictures of this? I want to see it.
I probably do. If you look on... There are pictures of me from high school on my real Facebook page, Marcy.
Oh my God, I'm looking.
Yeah, so, I got the name Casper from it, and it was funny because I was ashamed of the nickname for years because of what it came from, and I ended up going to college, and there was another kid named Chris on my wing my freshman year of my dorm, and so they're like, "Well, you know, how do we tell you to apart? Do you have a nickname?" And I go, "Yeah, mine's Casper." And it got to be a point where Casper became so associated with me that I'd forget and leave my real name on people's answer machines, and they'd have no idea who called because they only knew me as Casper. And it got to the point where even now I actually have a Casper tattoo, and it all started from that fucking movie.
That is an epic story. I apologize for not wanting to discuss it.
Yeah, so there you go.
And I have just seen some kind of picture that is on Facebook of you. And I'm trying not to laugh because it's mean to laugh.
I looked really young, and if I shaved now...
Oh my God, you fucking looked like him in that movie.
Yeah. I have a baby face.
Oh my God, Dude, if I had known you back then, like, if I was we were the same age and, like, you know, went to school together, I would have been, like, your stalker. Dude, you're, like, the type of guy, like, that whole look, that was the type of guy I used to totally dig on when I was that age. It's crazy.
Yep.
I have to say, I haven't seen Casper for a while, but I do remember actually liking the movie when I, like, the, I've seen it a few times when I was younger. I did remember liking it, but I need to sort of see it again to find out what I still think of it now. But I still have a very nostalgic feelings towards that movie. So that's why I put it on the list, because I like it.
It's a cute movie. I have nothing really against it. Bill Pullman, Christina Ricci, Devon Sawa. It was what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd give it a thumbs up, but I'll give it your half a thumb.
A half a thumb, yeah. Well, that's because I haven't seen it for a while, so at the moment I'll just give it half a thumb.
It gets like a slight thumbs up. I mean, it just feels different now. But dude, now all I'm going to be picturing is fucking matches in... Dude, I'm so in love.
I didn't see this photo.
I'm in love with you from that age. I mean, I'm in love with you, like, now, of course. But, dude, that was, like, such, like, a totally the type of dude that I would have loved at that age. Anyway, segueing into our next movie, The Crow.
Oh, yeah.
No real segue whatsoever, but The Crow. Thumbs up, because I loved it. I've always loved this movie.
I love this movie, too.
Thumbs completely up, yeah. It's great. Brandon Lee was awesome.
He was unbelievably amazing.
So cool. Another movie, phenomenal soundtrack.
Yeah, and I gotta mention, the movie has Ernie Hudson, who likes to hug the Marcy. What up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's got, and I mean, it's such a fucking emo-y goth line, but I don't care. I still love the line, "It can't rain all the time." Like, it's just, it was a cool movie. They did so many things so awesome in that, but I do love that line. And I thought that girl in it, the little girl that he watches over, was phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree.
Agreed.
And of course, you know, Michael Wincott as the bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie's kind of like, you know, such a classic. I don't even know if there's anything else I can really say about it. It's just such a beautiful, perfect movie, and it just makes me cry when I think about what happened.
Yeah, because it's also a love story as well.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Lee was so amazing, so great, and it's just so sad what happened, and it's so tragic. And the director is Australian of the movie.
Alex Proyas, who's awesome.
Indeed.
And it's kind of, because I recently watched Rapid Fire. You ever seen that, Marcy?
Which one?
Rapid Fire.
I don't remember Rapid Fire.
Because it stars Brandon Lee. And I just
watched
And I watched it, and it made me realize that even though he was a great action star, he was also a really good actor as well. Like, he could, like, even if he decided not to do action movies anymore, he could have just, you know, spent the rest of his life, you know, just being an actor, kind of like Bruce Willis, because Bruce Willis can kind of do not just action movies, but, you know, dramas, comedies, and stuff like that. But, and it's a kind of shame that, you know, watching The Crow, it's pretty much like the same as with Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, because you watch the movie and you realize that this guy has so much talent, and you know for a fact that, after this movie, he was definitely going to go places in his career, but it's just sad that, you know, he was taken from us far too soon, and we'll never know what his, you know, his career would have ended up like. And the legacy of this movie is since his death, that's why the movie has, you know, still had a legacy for, like, nearly, you know, 17 years after it's been out, because of Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
And it's visually an amazing movie as well, and it still holds up today.
Yeah. So, yeah, obviously thumbs up. This will segue us into the sequel, City of Angels, which I never saw. So
I never saw it either. I've seen the other two sequels, though. Salvation
Who played the character in this one?
I'm sorry. I saw it. It's not good, but Yeah, Mia Kirshner's in it. She's hot.
Yeah, that is true.
That's all I really have to add to that. The movie's not good, but Mia Kirshner's hot. Yeah. Oh, wait, no. That's not all I have to add. Iggy Pop is in it, and he's fucking the shit. So.
You know who... I just realized, you know who wrote City of Angels? David S. Goyer.
Oh, God. I'm just curious as to who played, like, the main character in it.
Vincent Perez.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we said that in unison. That was cute.
Jinx. yeah.
And Thomas Jane was in the movie from what I can read.
Oh, was he?
The Wikipedia page.
He was.
Real. I mean, nothing. This will no way segue to Dick Tracy, which I haven't seen for such a long time and I don't fucking remember.
I love Dick Tracy.
No rating from me because I don't remember it. At least at this moment, I can't.
Oh, you're terrible, Marcy. Dick Tracy, I absolutely love this movie. I used to watch it all the time as a kid, and it's like my most anticipated movie for whenever, if it comes out on Blu-ray, because I know. Because it's a very visual movie, but I just know it will look amazing. I mean, it's got an amazing cast, great performances, and the fact that Madonna could actually act well in the movie kind of says something.
I hate Madonna, just saying.
Shut up, she's my girl. Not as an actress, as a singer, as a performer.
Yeah, she sings well, too, in the movie, and her songs are very memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's got, like, Al Pacino in his Oscar-nominated role as, like, playing over the top as, what's his character's name?
I forget which one he was.
Shit, I have to look it up. But anyways, while I do that, it's a fantastic movie, and, love it. And I know a lot of people out there who love the movie as well, but again, I can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray. It's going to be amazing. Oh, yeah, his character, Al Pacino's character was Big Boy Caprice.
That's right.
Yes. And it has... keep going. Sorry.
I saw it when it came out. I haven't seen it since. I actually just added it to my Netflix queue to watch again. I do kind of forget it, but it was good, and I think I'd actually probably appreciate it more now than I did at the time I saw it. It really nailed that very comic booky type feel to it, and the villains were, again, kind of the cool characters in it that took it a lot further than I thought either Warren Beatty or Madonna did as their characters.
I agree.
Yeah, I'd still think I'd give it a thumbs up, but I don't remember it. Amazing.
Yeah, role. I mean, I think I liked it, but it's hard to remember because for some reason I just gone blank on this movie today.
Yeah, it definitely gets a high thumbs up from me. So.
Cool. This leads us to a movie I don't particularly like, and there's only two things about this movie that I do like, which is funny because it's about four things. The Fantastic Four. And no, the two things I like are not Jessica's left and right boob.
Because she's not in the movie.
Oh, yeah, it's the wrong one. I meant, I meant the other one, but, you know, even with the other one, it's not about the boob. Yeah. The two things I like about this movie, shit and crap. Because the combination of the shit and the crap make this hilarious.
You know, I have the movie, like, I have a bootleg of the movie, but I still haven't had a chance to watch it yet. And that's the only way you can watch the movie is by bootleg, because it's never been officially released.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you can get a bootleg everywhere. Every convention you go to has this fucker bootleg.
You can even watch it on YouTube now, apparently.
Yeah, it's been on there for a while. It's hard to find, because they took precautions so it won't get taken down, but it's there. The other good thing about this movie is it made me make this really hilarious Photoshop of of you as the girl.
That was awesome. I forgot about that.
And I was the thing.
You know what's amazing? That original picture of the Fantastic Four, the actor who looks like Reed Richards, looks like Michael Sheen. It's not funny. Seriously, he looks exactly like Michael Sheen. I had to do a double take because it looked exactly like him.
And the original poster or the one I made? Oh, my God. Which one are you talking about?
The original poster.
Okay, not the one I made.
Yes.
I think I made Pat the the you other guy.
Reed Richards and and you made AJ.
The torch.
The torch.
It's so bad. The movie, it exists solely so they didn't lose the rights. That's all it was. It was never meant to be seen. It's terrible. It gets a thumbs up for being hilarious. It gets a thumbs just down because it's just a shit movie.
Yep.
Thumbs down.
I have no thumbs because I haven't seen it yet.
You have no thumbs.
No thumbs.
How about Sylvester Stallone as Judge Dredd? Matches is speechless for the first time in his entire life.
I could smell a rant coming on.
No. I'm not going to do a rant. I'm looking forward to the remake, mainly because I thought this was a huge fail. And
it is.
Rob Schneider was annoying.
He is Satan's shit.
The sad thing is, though, as bad as I think this movie is,
it's fun.
If it was on and I was flipping through channels and didn't have anything else to watch, I'd leave it on.
Yeah, it is horrible. It's quite funny.
And I'm not trying to condone me even watching it, but... And I'd give it a thumbs down, but I'd still watch it.
I'm giving it a thumbs up because it's just quite funny, and I like Stallone, and it's just, it's really silly. I don't know anything about Judge Dredd, like, when I saw it. I kind of know a bit more now. I'd never read the comics or anything, but I kind of am more familiar with the character now, so I can definitely see why it's so terrible as well, because it's just, while I don't necessarily think adaptations need to be that faithful, I think they need to just work as a movie, but this really doesn't work on any level. That's why it's hilarious.
Mm. It's pretty much like a standard action movie, just, you know, with Judge Dredd in it. Like, it has all the tropes, you know, like the quote-unquote funny side character with Rob Schneider. But I actually really, like, even though, like, this movie would have been a lot better as it should have been, but I still enjoy it as a guilty pleasure. Because, there's a lot of elements in it that, you know, it kind of still makes it fun for me. And when a friend of mine and I, we just happened to watch it one day, for no apparent reason, I just quoted all of, like, bloody Judge Dredd's lines in the when he first shows up in the movie. Like, out of habit, because I knew it all off by heart.
You're terrible.
I know.
Oh, so terrible.
And it has Diane Lane, who's, you know, very, very attractive.
Attractive, yeah.
In her judge uniform.
Yeah.
Of course.
If no one else has anything to say about Judge Dredd,
no.
B has put down The Mask, but I haven't seen this movie, I don't think, since it came out. And I thought it was a really fun movie at that time, and I still think it would probably be a really fun movie. But there's nothing particularly I want to say about it. So all there is I'll just say that, you know, it gets a thumbs up because from what my memories of it were really good.
I have to be the same as well. I haven't seen it since I was younger, but I do remember really digging it a lot at the time. So it definitely gets a thumbs up for me. And this was like around the height of like when Jim Carrey was like becoming big.
Yeah.
Because like this was like came out, I think just then after, this came out at the right time because after that came Dumb and Dumber and then Batman Forever and everything else and all these movies sort of packed together coming right one after the other. This made him a huge star overnight. And he's hilarious in the role.
Yeah.
I completely love The Mask. I think it's hilarious. I love the cartoon references. I love going back to the wolf stuff and everything. I'm probably one of the only stupid people that quotes the movie all the time. Like, one of the funniest things in the world is when he's wooing Cameron Diaz and he speaks to her in French and he's like, "Jette the door, shut the window, I don't care." Like, he has these little goofy, over-the-top lines. I love that movie started my obsession with the Zoot Suit and how absolutely fucking camp fucking Zoot Suits are. By far, except for one scene in one other movie, it was the only time that I found Cameron Diaz exceptionally hot.
Oh my
god.
She had meat
on her bone. She was beautiful in it.
I
will say the
really
only other
good.
Time I found her was actually in the first Charlie's Angels movie when she's dancing in her Spider-Man underoos. I think it had more to do with Spider-Man underoos than her, but I really like the movie. I I can't think of the name of the wolf character that he's mimicking throughout the movie, but yeah, it was very, very cool.
I really need to see the movie again, because I know for a fact I'll just enjoy it as much now as I did back then, especially there's probably a lot of the humor probably went over my head, because most of it was probably adult-oriented, so it'd definitely be funny just to pick up on that now, which would be interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up too.
Okay, the next one is Men in Black, which I'm always just going to like this movie because it was fun.
I love this movie.
At that time, I loved Will Smith and I loved Tommy Lee Jones and I loved Men in Black. I loved Aliens, I loved funny comedies. This just gets a thumbs up. Truly, just such a fun movie. Really, really enjoyed it.
And it's funny, though, is that a lot of people did not know that this was based on a comic book, which is...
Yeah. See,
Say it before during the opening credits. It does express that, yeah, this is, you know, based on the Marvel comic, but nobody pays attention. Nobody cares about comic book.
Yeah, and it's funny, though, this came out in 97. There was, like, 5 comic book movies came out that year, and this was the only one that was good. And I love Men in Black. I actually consider Men in Black the Ghostbusters of the 90s. Which
I'll accept that. Yeah,
can definitely see that.
Because it has a lot of elements in that it does share with Ghostbusters, and it's a completely awesome movie. Like Marcy said, Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones were both fantastic in the movie. And
great chemistry, too.
I'm sorry?
I said they had great chemistry together, too. That's why it worked so well, I think.
Yeah, and also Vincent D'Onofrio is the bad guy.
Oh, so good.
He was brilliant.
And the makeup job.
Your skin is hanging off your bones.
Oh, the makeup work in that film was incredible.
Mm.
And it won an Oscar, so yes.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'm going to be annoying for 1 second. I just wanted to go back to the mask for a second. I know I'm a complete dick, but... No, just wanted to go back to it too. Also, another one that had a really solid soundtrack with Royal Crown Review as part of it as well, which is fucking awesome. And there have been a few of these movies, as we're noticing, where the reoccurring theme of the solid soundtracks. So just want to point that out. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And it has Cuba Pete. I'm Cuba Pete.
Yeah, which was fucking hilarious.
Best thing ever. But anyways, back to Men in Black. Awesome movie. And,
thumbs up.
I have another embarrassing story from my childhood, Marcy, about Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and myself and a few friends, we actually, when it was our school disco, we all dressed up as the Men in Black.
Did you do the song?
We requested the song played, and we actually did the dance from the music video.
Do you have a video of it? Because that would be awesome.
No, we did it, but we actually like spent our afternoons before like the disco, and we just like. Just tried to learn the dance moves, and we did them all. Like, Jesus. We got everyone to like out of the way, and we like as soon as the song played, we were just on there doing our.
That would have been so funny.
I could still do it.
Oh God, you will have to put that on YouTube. Next movie, guys.
Yep.
All right, so Men in Black is like thumbs up from me. The next movie, I'm struggling to remember if I've seen this. Mystery Man.
Oh, Mars.
I've seen it recently, like a few years ago.
At least I haven't seen it recently if I have seen it, but I don't remember this movie.
Oh.
I either just gave Matches a really awesome orgasm or a really just bad kick in the nuts.
A little bit of both. I like the movie.
Do you care to give us a little bit of info on the movie? I mean, I didn't even realize it was a comic book.
We actually haven't even named the movie yet. The movie's Mystery Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, based off a Dark Horse comic book.
Thank you.
Very goofy, ridiculous, over the top, about basically a bunch of failure superheroes, which I'm sure most people had seen. A lot of people aren't big fans of it. I thought it was hilarious. I loved it. Had, to me, the funny part from Kenan and Kel from Nickelodeon. Kel is the guy who's invisible, but only when you look at him. I think the most annoying person by far is Ben Stiller, who I traditionally find annoying. Paul Rubens again.
The sphincter, I think. Wasn't it that he's the sphincter?
Tom Waits in an awesome role as the guy who creates the non-lethal weapons.
I love that man.
It was really, really cool. And there's another, just a side bit trivia, another movie that came out right around the same time called The Specials that was written and directed by James Gunn. And very similar idea, and that got kind of ditched because Mystery Men did so badly at theaters. What was the idea of Off the Wall Superheroes? And I highly recommend it to anybody to look up that movie and see it, because it is probably better than Mystery Men. But in general, I enjoyed Mystery Men. It's a guilty pleasure, but I have fun watching it.
I saw it for the first time a few years ago, and I kind of dug it, but I'm not sure. I've kind of got mixed things about it, but there are elements of it I did like. I love the cast. Like, it has a great cast. I mean, you got like Jeffrey Rush as Casanova Frankenstein.
And Casanova.
And also Greg Kinnear as, what was his character's name? Was it? I keep wanting to say Captain Awesome, but I don't think that, or is it? But I don't think that was it.
It's something like that because I keep on wanting to say the same freaking thing.
It's something similar along them lines, but I also love my favorite Captain Amazing. That's it. But I think my favorite character in the entire movie was William H. Macy as, was it the
Shoveler?
The Shoveler, yes.
Paul Rubens was the Spleen.
The Spleen. Okay.
Another fun little thing is Eddie Izzard was in it as Tony P, one of the disco guys. One of the first times we saw him out of his drag outfit. You guys know who Eddie Izzard is, right?
Yeah. I just don't know how to picture him in this movie.
He was awesome. And it's weird because I knew who he was and had to go back and watch the movie to find him in it because I didn't even catch him in it.
Mm-hmm. You know who else is in that movie in a small cameo? Michael Bay. He plays a college douchebag.
Wow, it's not far from him really.
And he was actually surprisingly, like, he's only in the movie for like, I don't know, 10 seconds, but he was like hysterical for some reason. But, yeah, so I was kind of spun out when I saw that, but yeah, there are elements of it I like. I would say I loved it or liked it, but it's okay. But it's definitely one I can probably see myself, you know, liking much more after repeated viewings and all that.
Mm. So yeah, I'm guessing you guys are giving it a thumbs up.
I give it about a half, like a half.
And Matches definitely gives it a thumbs up.
I do give it a thumbs up. Also, one other real quick tidbit. A very, very young Dane Cook in it as the Waffler.
Oh, really? Nice.
So that's it. And Claire Forlani Pot. That's it.
Yeah, she was back in the day when she actually made movies.
Yep.
Bede wrote down Richie Rich, but I typed in the chat, I don't want to talk about Richie Rich, so I'm skipping Richie Rich.
I'll say I liked it as a kid. I'm not sure what my feelings of it now.
It is fucking dog shit now. Ignore. Sorry. The next movie...
I'm terrible, so...
No. The next movie is The Rocketeer.
Love The Rocketeer.
Which is really... It's such a great movie. I saw it again recently. I think we've discussed it at length before on the show, but it's... Yeah, it's such a great... such a great movie. It's a lot of fun. Jennifer Connelly. Hello. Nice.
It's very underrated film as well.
Real. It's got a great feel to it.
Betty Page, Jennifer Connelly obsession. Awesome.
Mm. Yeah, yes. it's got a great feel. It's a really underrated movie, I think.
Mm. And it has Timothy Dalton as the bad guy.
I know. How could you not love that?
Yep, and also Terry O'Quinn as Howard Hughes.
I know. I was gonna say, he's such a great actor. I love him so much. And when I watched it recently, I had no idea that was him that was in the movie because, of course, it just things didn't click. And then I saw it and I'm like, oh, mind blown. Awesome stuff. Because it was on Foxtel recently. And that's where I saw it again. So it's a really great movie. I mean, I kind of almost want to watch it now.
And I'm really planning on watching it now after we stop recording. So
cool.
Yeah, thumbs up from Marcy.
One of the things I like the film is it actually captures like the period perfectly. Like, you agree. Know. And I can't wait for, because Joe Johnson, who directed The Rocketeer, is making the new Captain America movie, mm-hmm. and I can't wait. And just finally watching the full trailer just before the podcast, I can definitely see that Rocketeer influence, like, sprinkled out through it. And I just can't wait for Captain America. I mean, it's going to be just as... If he does channel Rocketeer, it will be awesome.
Yeah. Say thumbs up?
Thumbs up, yeah.
All right, the next movie on our list is The Shadow, which I'll say everything I want to say about it now. As a kid, I really liked it. I was kind of like half familiar with the, you know, origins of it. I just thought it was a really cool looking movie. It was really a Marcy movie at the time, and having seen it again recently, I mean, I think it had some really good ideas, it had some great visuals. I just thought the acting was fine for me. I liked the cast and everything. So for me, I mean, it doesn't hold up as well, but I still quite enjoy watching it. So it gets a thumbs up, and that's my rant on The Shadow.
I used, like you, Marcy, I used to like it a lot as a kid, but when I rewatched it again a few years ago, I didn't like it at all. Like, it just had that sort of very, one of the thing, like most 90s comic book movies that had too much camp in it. Like, even though it had some cool ideas and cool visuals and, you know, you got a good cast and all that, it just was let down by this whole campy feel that I just felt was very off-putting, when it could have easily just been a pretty, you know, like a dark, not overly dark, but at least a dark enough type of movie as it could have been.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe it just is kind of nostalgic for me that I still quite enjoy it a lot.
I've never seen it, so I can't comment.
Okay. Well, it's a thumbs up from Marcy, obviously.
It's a thumbs down from me.
You suck.
And this is the last thing you want to do, but I did think of one that reminded me of one we skipped, and we can just say whether it's thumbs up or thumbs down.
Okay.
But The Phantom with Billy Zane.
It's a like a half, because it's kind of a guilty pleasure.
It's a guilty pleasure. It's a guilty pleasure thumbs up. But I don't know why B missed it and I forgot, but we've talked about it, I think, a lot on this podcast.
Oh, I thought I did write it down. Oh, I thought I did. Oh, I guess I... Oh,
yeah, but I think we've talked about it.
We forgive you.
Yeah, I think we've definitely, talked about it.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. I give it like half thumb. It's a guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one is Spawn. Not a fan. I don't remember this movie that well. Thumbs down. It's not good.
Yeah, I rewatched it a few years ago. Oh, it's so fucking terrible.
It's not good, but there is one cool character. John Leguizamo as the clown was awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome until he like showed up in a cheerleading outfit, and I was like, fuck this.
Oh, no. See, I was fine through all that. It was the... That was at a period of time where we were trying to do too much with CG. Well, I was in Hollywood, but Hollywood was trying to do too much. and they didn't quite have the skills to do it yet, and just things were coming across as really looking poor. It also introduced us to Michael J. White, which you can't write
it
off.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I worship the ground that Michael J. White walks on.
Yeah.
He should be in every single movie ever made.
I just watched Black Dynamite again.
Oh my god. I watched Undisputed 2 not too long ago. He is a god. He is a god.
This movie is so wrong. Have you guys seen the original HBO animated series of Spawn? Yes.
Phenomenal.
That is a phenomenal series, because my best mate had the DVDs. Like all of the seasons, and he lent them to me, and I was completely blown away by it, because it was so dark and just so brilliant in so many ways, and violent as well. And watching the movie, I was like, how the fuck could they have gotten this wrong?
Yeah.
Like the suit, like the Spawn suit was cool, and the soundtrack was cool, but fuck this movie. It's wrong on so many levels. Like, my best mate, he loves Spawn. And he can, like, you know, mostly the series, not really the, because he hasn't read the comics, but just basing on the movie series, he can pretty much sum up everything why this movie doesn't work. So, yeah, and I agree with everything. It's a terrible movie, and, like, it has, and I can't, this is a movie that needs to be remade.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to put this out there. Your best mate shit is weak. Why the fuck hasn't he read the comic books?
I don't know.
Well, I'm that shit. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, well, he's not really much of a comic reader.
I don't give a shit. Can he read?
Yes, he can read.
As long as he can read, he can get... They have giant omnibuses of the Spawn series out there where you can get them, like, cheap, and they'll have, like, 50 issues in one book. Tell him to get it. If he's a Spawn fan, educate himself.
Oh, well, I think he's more a fan of the TV show rather than the comics, but, you know.
Fuck him. Read the book.
I'll tell him that you said that.
Okay.
Anyways, I don't want to talk about this movie. This gives me a headache. I think I hated this movie even more than Batman and Robin.
I think you could have hated this movie as much as the next one, which is Steel.
Oh, this one's even more worse.
This one has... The only thing I've seen of this is the Nostalgia Critic review, and even then it's hard to watch because it's so bad. Steel starring that dude that did some movies when he forgot to play basketball.
And forgot how to rap as well.
Oh, and that, I don't think you even mentioned what the title of this movie
I
was.
I said Steel. I can't help it if my mum and my niece are like really loud in the other room. I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody who can hear my niece and my mum because they're really loud.
I can't hear them. So you're okay.
No, well, my mum's like singing to her and stuff. I don't know.
Singing the Spider-Man song?
No. Lily's in her Superman t-shirt like I am, so she's like running around being Superman or Supergirl or Super Baby. You know what I mean? She's being somebody that's Kryptonian. She's got the red pants on as well. So
I will say this about Steel, since I've already said enough about it before on a previous podcast. This film, in my opinion, is the worst comic book movie ever made.
I don't think I can argue with you because it looks so shit.
I mean the worst comic book movie ever made. And it was like my pick as one of the 10 worst movies of the 90s.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the fact has like Judd Nelson as the bad guy pretty much tells you everything. And it's terrible. And the Nostalgia Critic should have torn that movie even more apart.
Yeah. Can we move on? Because I don't want to talk about Steel. No, I don't really want to talk about... The only out of all these upcoming movies, there's only one I actually really would like to just talk about for a few minutes.
No.
Yeah, Tank Girl is weird. That's all I'm going to say.
It's a shit movie. It's a shit movie. The director directed Freddy's Dead. Like, what the fuck?
It has, like, Ice-T as a mutant kangaroo, and I did not even recognize him at all.
Because he's a fucking kangaroo. It's awesome. I know,
but he's, like, second build, and he's hardly in it.
And I don't care that Naomi Watts is in it.
Who cares?
And Naomi Watts, poor girl, is in the movie.
I know. It's from the director of Freddy's Dead. I mean, I cannot accept this. I don't like this movie.
You know what's funny is I actually like Freddy's Dead as well.
Oh, you're terrible.
Matches. Do you want me to hit you?
I love Freddy Nightmare on Elm Street as my favorite horror film franchise. I love it too,
but that movie is terrible. It has a power glove in it.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is the worst Nightmare
on Elm Street. No, it's not. It is the best movie ever.
It's gay.
I love that it's gay. That's the best part. Anyway, this isn't the Nightmare on Elm Street podcast, but I do know who we will have on the podcast because we'll have to have you on there, Matches.
I would love. Freddy rules.
Yeah,
I'll be on there in a heartbeat.
Cool. We'll have you back for that one. Then we can just discuss this more civil. But I don't like Tank Girl. It gets 10 thumbs down.
Yes, it gets a thumbs down for me.
Okay, I give it 11 thumbs up, which negates all your thumbs down.
I will say this, it's more watchable than Freddy's Dead. That's all I'm going to say.
I will agree, yeah. It's still, I don't know, maybe if I watched it again with the right attitude, maybe it'd be fun. I don't know.
Like, it's average, but that's about it.
All right. The next one I just want to briefly talk about for one reason, or maybe three. Time Cop. I didn't even know this was any kind of comic. This is a good pleasure for me for these reasons. Jean-Claude Van Damme, his insane mullety hairstyle, and the fact that he does the splits and he shows his nakedness at times.
That's why I put the movie on the list, Marcy, because I knew you'd be, like, drooling over Van Damme.
It's not that I'm drooling, that's about it. But that's all I really have to say about Time Cop. It's a guilty pleasure. It's not the great.
You see Mia Sara naked in it, and I'd want to see her naked for a while. So it gets a thumbs up for me because of that.
I can't give it a thumbs up because I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I will.
Good.
That's Time Cop. The next, I think, because I'm kind of pressed for time and this podcast is running a bit too long for my liking, the Ninja Turtles series. I think we've really talked about it a lot. The first one's awesome. The second one's okay. The third one should not exist. I still will watch it, but it's just not very good. I love the Ninja Turtles. I sing the Ninja Turtles, like, theme song for the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
I sing the Ninja Rap song by
Vanilla Ice. I mean, I think we've discussed this so much.
Preach on, brother. Vanilla Ice rules. I don't care what anyone says.
He disturbs me because I have sex dreams about him. Sorry. Yeah. I have dreams that he licks me in the face. Anyway, but that's the Ninja Turtles. I mean, one and two, thumbs up. Part three is kind of down. So, yeah.
Yeah, one and two thumbs up, three down.
Yeah, I think we've discussed them a lot. So, I mean, I love the Ninja Turtles. They are my childhood. But now we have a quick question of the week, which we're going to cover quickly. Not that, like...
Oh, your mom?
Yeah, that's my sister, not my mom.
Oh,
This is why we kind of have to wrap up, because we're not going to hear anything when they're here. AJ, who loves our podcast, who comes on it often, gave us a question for best and worst werewolf movies. So we'll each answer it. I'll go first because I'm prepared. My best werewolf movie is An American Werewolf in London, and my worst werewolf movie is An American Werewolf in Paris. And I think they're both pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, I'll go. I guess my favorite werewolf movie would have to be An American Werewolf in London. Even though I haven't really seen many werewolf movies, but this one out of all of them, I did really like. And I also enjoyed The Howling as well. But I think my worst one is Skinwalkers,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty meh.
I haven't seen it, but I think I can see where you're going.
But can you put in, like, New Moon and Eclipse on that list?
I don't include them as any kind of movies whatsoever.
Very true.
Matches.
Okay. I could easily say best and worst American Werewolf in London, worst American Werewolf in Paris, like Marcy, mainly because Paris, the werewolves were all, like, CG and horrible. Mm-hmm. But just for two more rare ones, I'd say... Ginger Snaps for best.
Yeah, definitely.
It's phenomenal, and I highly recommend it. Actually, all three were great. Worst, I would throw Cursed in there, which was really, really poor.
Cursed was pretty bad, too.
And started Wes Craven's whole fucking downfall from sainthood, to me at least.
I haven't seen it, but I know what you mean. I'll be watching it soon, though, because I have to watch Wes Craven.
Yeah, watch the uncut version. The PG-13 version is, like, even worse.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, that's our podcast. I'm sorry. I apologize to wrap up for everybody, but things are kind of crazy on my end, and I have to go do something for somebody really quickly when we finish. So we'll just quickly let everyone know where we can find us. So you can find us on the website, supermarcy.com. You can find me on Twitter at supermarcy. You can find us on Facebook at superpodcast. And you can find us on, like, wherever else you just type in supermarcy, you'll find us, MFC, whatever. You can find Bede at Bede Jermaine at Twitter. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on the Super Podcast website. You can find him on the Facebook page. I mean, you can find him on the supermarcy.com because he does write-ups every week. And you can find Matches at Matches Malone on Facebook. You can find him at the podcast website is F-O-R podcast. No.
R. Yeah,
it's the F-F-O-R podcast.podbean.com. You can look up Racks or Reels first.
Racks, Records, and Rants.
Yes, on Facebook.
iTunes, whatever, people.
Yeah, exactly.
If you give a shit, you'll find me somewhere.
There you go. I can't believe I did that so fast. Okay, so from us here at Super Podcast, we thank you for listening. I am Super Marcy. Bead is terrible. And Matches gets hogs.
Oh.
Good night. Goodbye.
See you, everyone.
Run for you and hook my lights to peace.